And we're still working on the thought of the power of an endless life, the power of the Spirit of God in you and me. We closed out last Sunday on the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Let's count it so now, folks. The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The discussion was in regard to the power of the Holy Spirit in you and me to enable us to govern our thoughts and control our minds. Now people say, I can't help what I think. And I disagreed with you last Sunday on that. But I'd like for us to get a little broader perspective than that. I'd like for us to count God and the Holy Spirit in on things in our lives. For me to say I can't govern my mind and control my thoughts, when God says in His Word that He has supplied me with the equipment to do that with, that's just the same as me saying, and what many others say, I can't live without sin. Now God said to live without sin, but people say we can't live without sin. And we say I can't govern my mind and control my thoughts. And many other such things we say. And we just kind of grovel along on the low plane of what we can do. God knew you couldn't govern your mind and control your thoughts. He knew you couldn't live without sin. So, He sent the Holy Spirit to impart power and grace and ability into your life to help you to do whatever God says for you to do. Now, this is the Holy Ghost dispensation. Within the human, we couldn't come close to it. Close to the requirements of God's Word in the New Covenant, under grace, we couldn't come anywhere near to it within the human. And we couldn't govern our minds and control our thoughts in the human. And we couldn't live without sin in the human. And we couldn't love our enemies in the human. And we couldn't pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us and speak all manner of evil against us and reproach us. We couldn't pray for them and do them good in the human. But God's Word said to do all of this. Now this is required. This isn't playing games, folks. This is required if you and I are going to live up to the standard and be ready for heaven in the end. We're going to have to be able to do this and do it. Actually have this kind of an experience in our souls. So God, knowing that we couldn't even come close to the standard that He has set, now the standard that He has set is that conforms to the atmosphere of heaven. God's not going to mar the atmosphere of heaven by letting you and me in there with a lower standard than that. Shorter than that. If we can't do this, let's get to scrambling. We're going to have to do it before we are ready and prepared to go to heaven. This all fits right in with the atmosphere of heaven. God requires holy living out of you and me. And since he knew that we couldn't come close to this in the human, he sent forth his spirit on that kind of a mission to take up his abode in the hearts of believers, to impart power to them and enable them to measure up to the standard of everything he said. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace that lifts the standard of Christian living, or the truth that lifts the standard of Christian living as high as heaven itself, and grace enough to live to it. Jesus set it up that way. And let us realize that the same God that wrote the New Testament is the same God that set up the economy of grace, and his grace fits to the principles of truth in his New Testament just like the glove fits to the fingers on the hand. And the whole thing is all right there. Every need is supplied, but you have to have a will to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. If you're short, don't settle cheap by saying, I can't. But put up a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. When you have done your best, Jesus will do the rest. We sing a song that says, when you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. He knows what's best for you. Just trust him and be true and see what he will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. Now, folks, we need to get our sights up. We need to get a broader perspective of the operation of God in the lives of believers, saints. He says in the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 26, that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What does that mean? We ordinarily think of infirmities as arthritis and rheumatism and tuberculosis and cancer and one thing and another that attacks the human body. Well, those may be infirmities, but that isn't what he's talking about in this text. In this text, he's talking about our human limitations and our human weaknesses. And knowing that we had human limitations, and that when we had gone to the full extent of our human limitations, that wouldn't be enough to qualify us to associate with the atmosphere of heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to make the difference and to help us in those things that we're not able to do ourselves. One song says, I would not ask for strength to move a mountain, or earthly fame, nor fortune of my own. I only ask for added favors in the things I cannot do alone. Now, if we get a proper perspective, that perspective will involve our human limitations and our human weaknesses, and we need to recognize them and acknowledge them, but it will also involve a perspective of God's power and the Holy Spirit operation in the hearts and lives of believers, and we need to confess and acknowledge that too. And that God is able to make us all that He is calling on us to be by His grace. Now He said to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul said in the third chapter of Philippians, now Paul had learned some things. He said in one place, I have learned. Now he learned some things and some very valuable lessons. And as we survey his life, we conclude that Paul was a spiritual giant. That's the way I look at him. I look at him as head and shoulders above the crowd. And that he was a spiritual giant. But he learned some things, some valuable lessons. And we survey that and look that over. We think that to be marvelous and miraculous, and so it was. But let us realize that we have the same teacher that Paul had, and that we can learn the same lessons that he learned if we'll just apply ourselves to it. We have too much of an idea of God going to do this and God going to do that, and God's just going to do it all by the time we wind up. But it doesn't work out that way. We've got to furnish some resistance against the devil. We've got to put up some fight. And not just lay down and wait for God to do everything. When you put up some fight, he'll get in there and fight with you. And that's what'll make the difference. That'll put you over the top. Now Paul said in this verse, the third chapter of Philippians in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not claim to have apprehended. I don't have it all. I haven't reached the full extent. We need that perspective. We don't need to be settling down where we are. Too many are doing this. I've come thus far, hither do I come and no further. And that's not good. There's nothing perhaps quite so great an incentive to pressing forward as to see something to press forward to. And when we can realize that there are greater heights and deeper depths and longer lengths and broader breadths that any of us has ever reached yet, in the grace of God, then we have some incentive and some encouragement, some goal to press forward to. Now Paul says, I do not claim to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Among other things that Paul had learned, and God help you and me to learn it, was that he had to unload. He had to forget some things. How many of us can look back over a life with not an unpleasant thing or a riffle in it. Well, I don't see any hands up. I don't believe there's anybody that's ever advanced beyond babyhood in their lives, but what they have some ripples in their lives and some unpleasant things. But you know what? If we don't watch and we don't count the power of God in, that's where our minds are going to run. Is them unpleasant things that's happened back down the years in our lives. Seems to me that our minds work so backward. You've heard me say this a lot of times. I'll probably say it some more before I get through, but it seems to me like our minds work so backwards. The things that crush us and that agitate us and that creates a disturbance of our peace, it seems that we can never in this world forget those things. They just come and hang right in there with us. But the things that would really bless us and strengthen us in our spiritual life and build up our faith and help us, we forget so readily. And I've discovered a little secret in this. Brother Chandler pointed this out, and I followed it through and discovered a little secret in this, and that is that the reason that we forget so readily the things that would bless us and strengthen us and comfort us and increase us in our spiritual life is because these other things are crowding our minds so much, and we're just holding them in our minds. Brother Chandler brought us a thought like this in the 103rd Psalm. Says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Well, he went ahead to develop the thought of what a blessing it would be to your life to just remember all the benefits of the Lord. But many folks can't do that. Those things get away from us so readily. And when we run into another battle, we don't have to build on what we ought to have to build on by just keeping our minds on the Lord and the Lord's doings and his benefits and blessings to us. We forget those things, but the things that hurt us, hurt our feelings, offend us, things that are really detrimental to us, seem like we can never forget those things. That's bad, isn't it? Now, Brother Chandler went on to say that the reason you forget and can't retain all these benefits and blessings and mercies of the Lord that would enrich your life is because you got your mind all cluttered up with these things that hurt you and that you were offended at, and what people said to you and about you and how they treated you or didn't treat you. You got your mind all cluttered up with that, so you can't retain all this other. But the climax of his thought, and that goes right along with some of the things I've already said, but I carry this. The climax of his thought was that God had the power to forget that you and I ever sinned. That's what the Bible said. Remove our iniquities as far from us from the east as from the west, and remember them no more. Now God has power to put it out of his mind that you ever sinned. Well, he said, what happened when he got in you? Did he get weak when he got in you? Did he lose that forgetting power when he got in you? Nay, verily, but he just needs the consent of your will. Some of us nurse our hurts and our wounds and our bruises and our offenses like a sweet morsel under our tongue. And we just hardly want to give them up. But he said, God has the same power in you as he has outside of you, and he had power to forget that you ever sinned. And if you have problems with forgetting the things that are destroying you and casting you down, appeal to the power of God. He can forget it in you just like he forgot that you ever sinned. He can enable you to do that. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But what is all this talk about power? When we live on the same plane that other folks live on, and we carry our hurts and wounds and bruises and offenses on and on year after year just like other folks do, what is all this talk about power? The power of the Holy Ghost in you is what will separate the men from the boys. And it is what will separate the saints from the sinners. And the spiritual people from the non-spiritual professors. That's where the line will be drawn. It's in the power of the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life and on your mind. Forgetting the things which are behind, Paul reached a point where he realized, I've got to unload. And I doubt if there's one of us in here but what would realize that if Paul would just have lain awake at night mulling over how people had treated him and all them Judaizers that followed him and tried to nullify his work and claim his converts and all the whippings he'd been getting and the unjust treatment from his own countrymen, the Jews, and everybody else, and all those things, it would have broken him. He just realized, I've got to unload. And he learned to unload. God help you and me to learn to unload. How often I pray for you and me, myself and my brethren, that God will help us to renovate our minds and clean them out from the attic to the basement. And get rid of all of those unpleasant, undesirable, hurtful, downcasting, depressing thoughts before they destroy us. And that's just what they're going to do if we hold on to them. You can just count on that. Your mind will destroy you if you don't get control of it. Forgetting the things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. My little piece that I've recited different times here, it comes right in here. I like it, so I say it every little while. If you've not been treated right, just forget it. Don't get ready for a fight, but forget it. Life's too short to hold a grudge. will your happiness be smudged? Anyway, you're not the judge, so forget it. If somebody slanders you, just forget it. Say, I'm glad it isn't true. Then forget it. Even if you lose a friend in the breach you cannot mend, it'll pay you in the end to just forget it. Now, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life will not only enable you to govern your mind and control your thoughts, but it will enable you to control your innermost feelings and to cast out every wrong kind of feeling that you have. We have a text in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, verse 26. Says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Or somebody says, I can't do that. Well, back again to your human limitations, but the Spirit of God, the Bible says, helps our infirmities. And if God said, let not the sun go down on your wrath, God's going to hold you and me responsible for having it that way in our lives, but He's supplied the necessary facilities and all to do that, to bring that to pass. Yeah. If you don't do this, says you're giving place to the devil. Let us realize we have the devil to deal with too. In other words, what God is calling upon you and me to do, and I keep reminding you that everything He called on us to do, He has supplied the mechanics to do that with. All the essentials, every necessary thing, it's all summed up in the power of the Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, God knows the effect that hurt feelings are going to have on you if you let them lay there a while. He knows just how that's going to affect you. God made you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows just how human nature responds to certain things. And He knows just how it's going to affect you if you let this thing linger. And He says, don't let it linger. Pray out from under your hurts and wounds and bruises and offenses and do it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You let these things lay overnight. That's a little while. Just entertain them a little while. I'll promise you there'll be some roots that'll develop there. The Bible calls them roots of bitterness. It says many is defiled with it too. Roots of bitterness. But nobody ever lets anything of an offensive nature linger around them very long without it taking some roots and producing some roots of bitterness, and it's hard to pull out by the roots when it takes root. So God said, take care of it promptly. Get the victory over it quickly. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't hesitate about this. Maybe we need to take more serious this life and the fact of the life that we are living and what the things that transpire in our lives involve and what they do for us. But God said, don't allow this to happen, that the sun goes down on your wrath. Let it lay there overnight, and it'll have some roots in the morning. It'll be harder to get rid of then than it is now. Amen.